Today on It's Supernatural. A young man is healed of something doctors say it's impossible to heal. Autism.
Can ancient secrets of the supernatural be rediscovered? Do angels exist? Is there life after death? Are healing miracles real? Can you get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 30 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. I don't know about you, but I have been breathing the air of heaven, and I love that atmosphere. What happens when a Jewish doctor has an incurable illness staring him in the face, and the mother comes in and says, a miracle happened. My son is healed. And this Jewish doctor says, yeah, with his own words, we have it on tape. We'll let you view it in just a couple of minutes. He says, this is a miracle. Karen, when you had James, he was a healthy little boy, the first 15 months or so. Tell me about him.
Oh, he was wonderful. He was born right on time and happy and healthy. And he's one of those children you could just pass to anybody, very calm. Everything was perfect. He was right on track.
But at 18 months, something very weird started happening.
Something very weird happened. We had taken him for his well check, and literally, he started running to the same place in the hall, and he would stand backwards against the wall and slam his head back and forth into the sheetrock. And I thought, I don't know, maybe this is what little boys do. Maybe this is the beginning of the terrible twos. But after about a month, he literally, with his head, broke the sheetrock open. There was a hole in the sheetrock.
But then he started doing things even more bizarre, such as eating the sheetrock.
Absolutely. He would start picking away the sheetrock. He started eating the rubber backing off of our bathroom rugs. He ate the rubber lining out of the door of our cars.
Now, she's not just talking about something. I've got the bills here. There's an $1,850 bill for sheetrock repair.
Right.
He would just bash his head in the wall to get the sheetrock to eat it.
Yes, he was obsessed with putting things in his mouth and chewing. He would eat a flip-flop off your shoe. He was eating bark off of a tree. He was just obsessed with putting stuff in his mouth and eating it, things that weren't food.
When the doctors finally diagnosed his condition, what was it?
It was classically autistic. There's 16 markers that make you autistic, and he had all but one of them.
What's the cure rate for autism?
Oh, there's no cure. It's incurable. There's no treatment, and there's no hope, and you have it forever.
And how prevalent is it in society?
It is what I would call a pandemic. It's 1 in 150 births.
1 in 150 births?
1 in 150. In some cities, it's as high as 1 in 98 births.
So how did you cope with this situation?
I coped in every way wrong. I coped with drinking and eating and overworking, and I couldn't believe that I was in this long nightmare. This is not what I had prayed for. This is not what I wanted. I wanted a little boy that would be the captain of the football team and a daughter that would be the cheerleader. I didn't want this rabid child in my house with no way to control him. And any professional that we went to, doctors, specialists, they all said the same thing. This is what he has. There's no treatment. There's no cure. He'll always be like this. And at one point, you'll have to put him in a home.
Now, something good came into your life. I mean, the way it was headed was pretty bad. You were, did you really face the fact that you'd have to institutionalize your son someday?
It took me a long time to come with terms with that, but I think women instinctively know if things were getting better or worse. And because he was so big for his age, I knew that I couldn't handle him. Because when he got upset, his rage was off the charts. He could not be controlled. When he was little, you could give him a toy or redirect. But as he got to be 4 and 5, he's much bigger and much older. And we had another child, and he was beginning to be of a danger to her. And so I knew that my options were limited, and those were that I couldn't keep him. I loved my child. I adored him, but I had no idea what to do with him, and I knew that we'd have to put him in a home.
So you were desperate. You're trying to drink.
Absolutely.
You were so desperate, you even
yes.
went to a prayer group that helped you a little bit.
Yes.
What did they do for you?
We were directed by a friend of ours to a deliverance team called Gospel Revelation Ministries, and I signed up for personal deliverance, and I didn't know what that was. I grew up in a denominational church, but I knew that I needed to do whatever I needed to do to get to be the person that God wanted me to be so I could raise this handicapped child. So I thought, this is what God wants me to do. He wants me to be this great handicapped mother, and I'm going to raise this child, and then that's what I'll do. And so I went through deliverance, and where it identifies what's operational in your life, where there have been some curses, things that happened to me, either by other people or by my own actions and words. And God set me free from all the things that had bind me up, and I was going to be able now to raise this child that God had given me.
And they also gave you direction on some things to do at home to benefit your son.
Absolutely. In the beginning, it wasn't time for, God didn't say it was time to take James to deliverance initially, but they did tell us to always play praise music in his room continually. Praise music is something the enemy cannot stand in the presence of, and that immediately changed his temperament. I believe that our children are tortured the most at night or when they sleep, and then also to anoint him with oil, to pray over him and seal this vessel that nothing could attack him or torture him while he slept. And that initially really changed him.
And then one day they said something that staggered you.
Yes.
About James, your son.
Yes. They said that they believed that they could take James through deliverance for autism. And I said, oh, that's not possible. If that was possible, it'd be on national TV shows. It'd be on the news. Nobody's ever healed of autism. And they said, that's what the Lord said. And so who am I to argue with the Lord? And so in January of 2000, they called and they said, God said, it's time now. And I said, time for what? And they said to take through James for deliverance for autism so he could be completely healed.
Now, was your faith level that something good was going to happen, or were you still pretty skeptical?
My faith level was that of my experiences, and my experiences were, I had been in churches, we had been on staff at churches, and my experiences were that most of the Christians that I knew were sad, unwell, and disappointed in their whole lives. I didn't know Christians that walked in freedom and wholeness and wellness, but I had a little tiny glimmer of hope that just maybe, not for me, but maybe for this boy, that God would show up and do what he said he would do.
Okay, let's find out what happens when they drag James for a deliverance session. And I mean, this is really should be a movie, Karen, you know? We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Karen Mayer Cunningham, and your son James had autism.
Yes.
And it was, tell me how bad it was.
It was.
It's some of the worst things you remember.
I remember some of the worst things were the words that other people used. I remember his special ed teacher, who was wonderful, but she said he was a monster. He was so bad, he had to have his own aide just for him in class. We had Any Baby Can, took him for a day a month. MHMR in Texas, we had 20 hours of straight respite. He was out of control. He would make himself vomit up to 50 times a day.
Was he verbal? Did he speak much?
No, probably 20 words, mostly pointing, cup, hot, no, like a 2-year-old.
And
he was stuck there.
He had tantrums?
Oh, he had tantrums all the time. He was inconsolable, insoothable. There were never beginnings or endings to his tantrums, and you never knew what would cause them. And so we did everything to pander to him, to keep him calm, to keep him happy. We would play videotapes nonstop an hour, but he would eat. He was eating our house. He pulled up the carpet. He ate the foam under it. He pulled the wallpaper off the bathrooms and ate that. And, you know, you begin to live in this bubble. It becomes your truth, and it becomes this little war zone, and you want to protect it because it's your family, but it was unbearable.
Well, let's take a look at what his doctor had to say about him.
I saw James the first time a few years ago, about 3 years ago, when he was about 3.5 years old. I got to tell you, it was a little shocking to me. I've seen a lot of various diseases, conditions, behaviors. But little James, I got to tell you, took the cake on this one. He was exhibiting erratic behaviors. Uncontrollable, inconsolable, frantic attacks, tantrums. He was quite pale. nonverbal, grunting noises, total lack of attention. I always like to believe that I feel there is unlimited hope for people and their conditions. But with James, the severity of his condition, the bizarre behavior, I mean, I couldn't help it. I thought, this guy's going to be institutionalized for life. Nothing can be done for him. Of course, then I thought, well, you know, maybe some tests haven't been done. Maybe he's got an electrolyte imbalance. Maybe there's a tumor in his head or something that could account for these unusual conditions. But I got to tell you, at the onset, I thought, there's no hope for this guy.
Sid Roth here with Karen Mayer Cunningham, and we're discussing your son, James, and a group of people that pray for spirits to come out of people, demons to come out of people, said to you, it is time. What did you do about that?
Well, I moved on that. They're a group that have a specific gifting, and I believed them. I believed in their anointing from God, and so we took him in February 17th, 2000. It was a Thursday at 4 o'clock to our church, and we were just in one of the Sunday school rooms, and James sat on the floor and began to rock, and he wanted to go, and go, and get going the door. And so the team had my husband pick him up and hold him, and they just laid their hands on his back and prayed that the first demonic curse would go in Jesus' name into the dry places, never to be here again. And my son reached his hand back and screamed, come back, come back, come back, come back, come back.
When you were watching that, what did you think?
I thought, I cannot believe this. I cannot believe this just happened. It was so real. He'd never said the word come or back, and he was screaming out.
That's right,
out.
He wasn't verbal.
No, he was screaming out for the thing, begging for that thing that was leaving him to come back. And at that moment, we were all changed. The manifest presence of God was so heavy and so humbling, and I believe that God did that because he had every intention of healing him, and he is completely healed.
Now, but immediately, I know there were gradual things that occurred, but immediately, could you tell a difference in what was it?
He was marked a difference, and the first thing he was peaceful, which is part of the kingdom of heaven, and there was a calmness about him, and you know, that's the child that God purposed for my life, not an out-of-control rabid animal in my house. And from that day, he got better and better and better, and God has continued to restore his mind daily.
Well, how would you like to see James? Don't go away. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Karen Mayer Cunningham. We're discussing her son, James, who your doctor, who is no longer with us, mm-hmm. but we have a videotape of what he had to say about James, actually called him a miracle.
Yes.
Tell me about James today.
Oh, James is wonderful. He's 14 years old. He's 6 foot tall. He's an athlete. He bowls. In league, this year he played football, basketball. He's now throwing the discus. He just placed at a track meet, and he's just a wonderful young boy. Now,
I mean, the newspapers are writing him up as an athlete.
Yes, lead scorer for his section of the C team. So he's doing phenomenal. You know, academically, he's still behind a few years. He lost 5 years of his life. He's about on a fifth grade level, but he's in eighth grade, and he's in three resource classes. But all the other classes, he goes to regular classes with inclusion help. And so, you know, God continues to make up for that time that the enemy stole from us.
I understand that he can even move in the gift of prophecy now.
Yes.
Someone that was nonverbal,
yes.
that used to chew the plaster boards. I mean, he would knock his head against the
yes.
board, and then he would eat it.
He would eat it.
Which I have the bills for.
Yes, he would eat it. He was eating our house.
I mean, when you were drinking and desperate and realizing mm-hmm. that you were going to lose your son to an institution, I mean, you must have been as hopeless as a human can be.
I didn't know that there could be anything worse and be, I didn't think you could be worse and be alive and not literally in prison. And, you know, God's turned all of that around. A couple years ago, we were at church, and his Sunday school teacher came up to me, and she had tears strolling down her face, and she said, I just talked to James, and he gave me a prophetic word about the 60s, and just very gently told her that he wanted, you know, God wanted her to forgive this person she had kept bitterness for, and and then just went back to playing or whatever they were doing. And, you know, that's, he has a call on his life just like all of us do, not to eat the sheetrock. That was not God's purpose for his life. God wasn't trying to punish me or teach me something, but that he has a destiny on his life. And we have to stand and believe for our kids, our family, our loved ones to have everything that God's ever planned for them.
Let's take a look at the doctor actually, and there's a Jewish doctor actually calling this a miracle.
From the reports I see now, it's nothing short of a miracle. I mean, this young boy is now vocal, verbal, appropriate, responsive, eating nicely, healthy. You know, it's just one of those situations you have to chalk up to something maybe higher than what we have in the medical field.
That's pretty good for a Jewish doctor that doesn't know the Messiah to say that about James.
Yes.
Well, tell me a bit about James today. Well, in fact, I'll tell you what, better than you telling me a bit about James today, you've already done that. Let's have James talk about James today.
From the very start, the enemy, he tried and tried and tried to steal the very gift that God has given to you so the world could find. And you cannot be silent, no. You cannot be quiet, so know that you are healed. You've got the words that the world needs to hear. You are healed. You were made to shine.
Well, Karen, are you pretty proud of your son, James?
He is the light of my life. I'm absolutely so proud of him.
And what I understand is when people hear your story, how many people have been healed of autism just by listening to your story?
We know of 7 families.
But what are people saying when they read your book? It's not just for people that have children with autism.
No, absolutely not. It's about bringing hope to people that have lost hope, that they have no more faith, and they believe that they're stuck in this situation, in the word from their doctor or from their situation or their finances or their relationships. And Jesus said that by his stripes, we were healed. 39 stripes for 39 strains of diseases. Every disease, disorder, and situation comes from 39 groups, and we can be healed from all of it. We have to stand and believe and receive. And so that's what this is, for people to know that they can be healed from anything, whatever it is, broken physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Well, what I was told by my staff is they wanted their children to even read this more than one time. Why would someone want to read this more than one time?
I think because it really touches on different areas of your life. You know, initially I thought it would help people with special ed kids, but there's so many parts in our lives that are broken, that aren't whole or well, and that God wants to get in and heal every single part of them.
You know what I was thinking? Now, you know James today. We know James a little bit today from what we've seen. But it would have been so easy for, if you had known what was wrong with him, to abort him.
Oh. You know, and I would have never done that. You know, what you walk out, what God gives you, he gives you the strength to walk it out. And the reason that you walk stuff out is so somebody behind you can go, oh, Sid walked that out. Karen walked that out. I can walk that out, too. And there's a purpose in it.
Well, there's some people that want to do more than walk it out with a purpose. They want to walk out of it.
Right.
Would you look at them and talk to them?
Yes.
And then pray for them?
Yes. I just, You know, I want you to know whatever situation you're in, whatever, however you come in today, whether hopelessness or despair, is that God is ready to meet you wherever your need is. His hand is not shortened because of your condition, disease, or disorder or situation. And don't stand and believe the report of the doctor, but stand and believe the report of the Lord, because that's what we're supposed to stand upon. And if I can just pray for you, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your healing powers. We thank you that your name is Jehovah Rapha, that you are the God that heals, that if it is in your name, it is in your will. And Father, we thank you ahead of time for open doors, opened eyes, open minds to show each and every family, for whatever their specific situation is, how to walk it out and to walk into their destiny with freedom and wholeness and healthiness, and to be a light into this world, to know that God is the God who delivers us from all of our oppressions, obsessions, and possessions, Father God. We just thank you ahead of time for these good reports that are going to come in. Whole children, well children, purpose lives, full lives. We thank you ahead of time in Jesus' name.
Now, one of the things that you said to me is that even before your son had his deliverance, you played praise music.
Yes.
And you could actually see improvement in him.
Yes. Yes. Praise music is so important. You know, worship is ushering in the presence of God. And so as they sleep, as it's in the room, that brings in the presence of God. And when you have that there, the enemy must flee. He must flee. And as adults, we have to stand in the gap spiritually for our children that are under 18 years of age. We have to do that. We have to know that whatever comes into their ear or eye gate is permeating their spirit. And we have to be responsible for that.
What other things did you do practically beyond the praise music in this process of the healing of James?
We had to not give in to James. James's behavior had run our lives for so many years. We had to stop, you know, pandering to him. We had become the child and he had become the parent. And so, you know, the enemy had flipped the script on us, and we had to go back into our correct roles, that we were the parents and he was the child. And when we said something, it stood. And when we said that there would be discipline if this happened, then it stood. Not just always giving in to him because of his situation or his condition. And that set up a system of structure and discipline and order. And we serve a God of order. And our house was out of order.
I'm reminded of the words that Karen was told. It is time. That's pretty profound words.
Yes.
First, you had a concern.
Yes.
And you worry about how could deliverance help your son. But you know something? It is time. Heaven is drawing so close to planet Earth. Things that you have been believing God for in the past, that you've been standing and standing and standing. Well, I have a word for you. It's time. Mm-hmm. It is your time. It is time. Forget what happened in the past. A brand new beginning. It's time for you to know God. It's time for you to have the joy. It's plain time for you to have peace. There's a Hebrew word for peace. It's shalom. Shalom radiating out of every fiber of your being, not fearful of anything, not fearful of sickness, not fearful of death. I mean, if you're not fearful of sickness, you're not fearful of death, not fearful of financial problems, you would be at peace. Not fearful of relationships because you know God. You have such intimacy with God, and God's telling me that people's backs are being healed right now, and next, all pain of all kind is just lifting off of you. But I want the biggest pain to lift off you, the pain of carrying the sins of the wrong things that you've done. If you believe that the blood of Jesus washed away these sins, it is time for you to take those sins off of you, say, I believe the blood of Jesus has washed me clean. It's not something you do, it's what he has done. You just receive what he's done. And if you will say out loud, I make Jesus my Messiah and Lord, do it right now. It may seem insignificant, but my whole life was transformed when I did it. So will yours. Do it now.